This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
One subject which I have been in my own public life talking about Islam and things like that, deficient in mentioning as much as I should really, is love. Not least because the religion of Islam has a major emphasis of love. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referred to as al-Wadud, or the loving one. It's one of the names of God himself. And of course, Al-Ghazali, in his masterpiece, Ihya Ulumuddin, he has a whole book of love, which has been translated. I'm just going to talk about some of the things that he mentions in that book, which I think are very pertinent to this discussion. First of all, what is love? I think this is the first question anyone should ask. What is love itself? And really, a linguistic definition, as mundane as it is simply inclination, a meylan, okay, which is al-hub, which is love, is really an inclination to a thing. Ishq, which is, if you like, exuberant love, is a higher level, or even erotic love, or romantic love, or whatever you want to translate it as. It's the kind of love you would, or infatuation even, it's the kind of love you would describe between romantic partners, a husband and a wife, for example. Now, to proceed with this, obviously there are things you can love. It's possible to love humans and non-humans. Now, what you're talking about here, from a Muslim perspective or a human perspective, you can love something which is non-human. You can be inclined to it. So, for example, the hadith of the Prophet that two things have been made beloved to me or lovable to me, and he mentions at-tib is one of them, which is perfume, which is something you smell. It's, Al-Ghazali mentions, it's not something which you see with your eye, or it's interesting, it's perceptible through the sense of smell. So you can even love something which you can't see or you can't hear, and which is not human. But the question is, what do we love then? And what is the rationale behind it? Is it something, does it have a rationale? Does love have a rationale? Yes, it does have a rationale. And really this is, the main rationale is about survival. And now this sounds very much like something you would hear from an evolutionary psychologist or something like that. But this is something that Al-Ghazali does mention, quite frankly. In fact, he's very explicit about it. He says that, you know, we love all things which fulfill the objective of basically allowing our existence to continue. It's a kind of survival mechanism. Anything which has the objective of allowing me to exist or continue existing is something I will love. Which is why people love their family and their friends, because family and friends, you know, they fulfill that objective of allowing you to continue existing. In the case of offspring, obviously, it's a different kind of continuity, but still a continuity nonetheless. And so there is a base survival instinct which is connected to love. In another word, or in another way, you can say that we love things that can benefit us. And this sounds very utilitarian, but nevertheless, it's true. We love those who can benefit us as well. And everything goes back, in a sense, to this kind of benefit. But he does enumerate that there are different kinds. This is not the only kind of love. And it sounds very selfish, narcissistic, if you like. Self-love, because what is narcissism? Egoism, if not an amplified sense of self-love. Everyone has that level of survival egoism in them. This is Al-Ghazali's notion. Everyone has that. It's not unnatural. It's not even something to be ashamed of. However, there are different kinds of love. So he says that you can either, the cause of, as we've said, of love, and he enumerates them, can either be because this thing, it allows him to exist, continue existing. So obviously things that cause an individual pain, he won't love them. Pleasurable things are loved because, for the most part, pleasurable things will bring us closer to a continued existence. The second cause is some kind of a benevolence, that some good thing, ihsan, that another person bestows upon you. So when people are kind to you and they bestow benevolence, you start loving them a little bit more. Why? Because we want our continued existence, basically. And the third cause is loving something for its own sake. Now, this is a very interesting, and in many ways, he mentions, especially vis-a-vis with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we'll come to now, is the highest form of love, in a sense. You love something because of what the attributes of that thing is. Another reason why you may love something is because it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Something, you love it, you just look at it, even though it may not benefit you directly, but you look at it and you love it. Like flowers, when he gives an example, Hazal gives an example of flowers. You look at flower and you love it because it's of the beauty that it has within it, you see. And the fifth thing is, he mentions this kind of inner affinity that someone may have to someone else because they've been through different maybe experiences that they're similar to them, or they've been through some trauma together. And, you know, we've seen this kind of thing. Nowadays they call it trauma bonding and these kind of things. But the point is that these are the five main causes of love. Now, with this, Al-Ghazali makes the case for loving God. And he says the following. This is very, very powerful. He says, therefore, if man's love for himself be necessary, then his love for him through whom? First, his coming to be, and second, his continuance in essential being with all his inward and outward traits, his substance and his accidents occur, must also be necessary. What he's saying here is, if you love yourself, and if you consider loving yourself to be necessary, then that which brought you about and is continuing to allow you to exist, you should love the ultimate source of that, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing and no one, not a family member, not a friend, that can be as benevolent to you as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been in allowing you to exist and allowing you to continue to exist. Whosoever, he continues, is besotted by his fleshly appetites as to lack this love, neglects his Lord and Creator. He possesses no authentic knowledge of him. His gaze is limited to his cravings and to things of sense. This is the world of phenomenal reality, which he shares fully with the beasts, not the transcendent world, the ground of which no one may tread except him who was close in likeness to the angels. He gazes upon that realm in proportion to his nearness to angelic quality, but falls far short of it in the measurement of his plunge to the level of the bestial world. If you don't have this love for God, despite this ihsan and this benevolence that he has bestowed towards you, then the truth of the matter is that you are ignorant of the reality of God. And this is the point here. Because it's not just that God is generous, he's not munificent towards you in a way that human being may be, but he is purely munificent, where this kind of beautiful benevolence can be described as motiveless from a selfish perspective. In other words, it doesn't benefit God to give you. He's not being strategically generous. He gives you. He is benevolent to you. And so this is extremely important. In addition to that, we must appreciate, we've got to describe, why do we consider things beautiful in the first place? What beautifies things to us? What is beatific vision? And when we consider that God is perfect from all perspectives, now we go to the other reason for why we love things, which is that we love things because of their perfection, because of their beauty. So if you consider the fact that Allah has perfect qualities, that he's got perfect knowledge, perfect wisdom, perfect power, that should shake something within us, move something within us to loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just because of what he gives us, but because of who he is. And that's a higher level. That is higher level love. And he mentions these kinds of things. For example, his power is perfection. Ghazali, lack of power is imperfection. All perfection, splendor, grandeur, glory, and mastery are loved, and their perception gives pleasure. When we look at certain forms, we can distinguish as human beings between what are the lovely forms, what are the beatific forms, from those which are the ugly ones. Why? Because of completeness or lack thereof. Round cars, round watches, round architectures, all very precise, symmetrical, because we love complete things. And God is the most complete of all. So it ticks every reason why you should love anything. Loving God, because He's perfect. He's the most beautiful. He is the most beautiful from that perspective. He is the most beautiful. And He has the perfect qualities, which in and of Himself makes Him most worthy of love, in addition to being most benevolent to yourself. Now, this is true belief, you know. And this is the highest level of worship, by the way, when you worship God because you love Him, because of who He is, not because you want something in return. It's transactional with God. The highest level is because you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He deserves that worship because of how He is. And he says, the second cause of a powerful love is extensive knowledge of God, which overmasters the heart. This comes after the heart has been purified from all worldly distractions and connections, and is analogous to sowing, the sowing of seeds in the earth after it has been cleared of grass. Meaning, if you really want to have a pure love for God, then you have to remove the distractions of the world. The reason why we don't conceive of God in the ways I've just described is because we're distracted from the world. We need to clear up, like weeds, take out the impurities and the distractions from our lives before we can refill it with the majestic and the powerful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's connected to love is, of course, contentment, rida. And he mentions, you know, next, Al-Ghazali mentions, in addition to love, rida, contentment. You're content with the love that you have with the beloved, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the Muslims, because they're all in the same direction. And if love is taken away, we all know what that feels like. It's very painful. If you feel like a child of yours is lost, or your mother, your father has passed away, there's grief. And so this is what Al-Ghazali refers to as longing, when you start longing for the beloved. How do you long for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he talks about his seclusion. You should want, one of the things to manifest love is to want to be alone just to speak to Allah. Munajah, dua, supplication, and these kinds of things. And this is very powerful indeed. And this actually increases your pain threshold, funny enough. And this is something that he speaks about. In fact, he mentions Al-Shaqiq al-Balkhi, a very beautiful quote which I put on Twitter, in fact. He considers the reward for suffering has no desire to escape from it. When you know you're doing something for a beloved, for the one who is the most beloved, then it's one of the ultimate motivation, and it gives you power, the like of which there is nothing to substitute that kind of power. And this will give you, like, a kind of, if we internalize these notions, I think we will transform our lives in a way which is nothing material can provide us.
If you enjoyed that and you want to watch the next episode, click here.